Psalm 107, 107th Psalm. To read verses 1 through 3. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That is, that the Lord is good, that his mercy endureth forever. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. These first three verses serve as an introduction to the 107th Psalm. We see that they are a call to the redeemed, that is, those who have been brought out of trouble, those who have been set free and released of the Lord. We see that these individuals have been gathered from various places and circumstances. We see that in verse 3. And they are called upon here to give thanks unto the Lord. Verse 1. So the 107th Psalm, this being the introduction, these first three verses, is a call for the redeemed of the Lord to give thanks. But it is also a call for the redeemed of the Lord to praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works. We read in verse 8, O that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We read the same thing in verse 15. We read the same thing again in verse 21 and again in verse 31. So it is a call for you and I that are redeemed to give thanks and to praise the one who redeemed us, and to give thanks and to praise him for his goodness and his mercy. Following the introduction of the psalm, the psalmist paints four different pictures to illustrate the captivity and the deliverance of the redeemed of the Lord. And in these cases, he reveals how that when God's people, the redeemed, cry out unto the Lord in their trouble, we see that in verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. We see it again in verse 13, again in verse 19, and again in verse 28. And each time when they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, we read that God delivered them, that God responded to them. Now notice in verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. In verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Verse 19, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them. So he delivers, he saves, he saveth them out of their troubles. And then we read in verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. The idea being that when they cried unto God, God rescued them from their distresses. God snatched them away from their distresses, recovered them from their distresses. The word distresses refers to their anguish, their suffering, their pain, their agony, their torment, their heartache, their misery, their sorrow, their grief, and their woe. And every single time that they cried unto the Lord, God came to the rescue. This 107th Psalm is a psalm of encouragement. It is a reminder of what the Lord can do. It is a reminder of the difference that God can make. In each case, four different cases here in this 107th Psalm, in each case, the Lord made a difference. And that is still so today. Also, in each of these four pictures, we have a word picture of what the Lord does in saving our souls, but that's not the subject of our message. The psalm, again, serves as an encouragement, as a reminder that we can cry to God, at any time and in any place, and He can make a difference. But we wanted to take the thought of the message from what we read in we're going to look at the entire psalm, or most of it. We want to get our thought from verse 27 and verse 28, because we've read four times that they cry unto the Lord. But in verse 27, it says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord. And I believe as you look at each of these four pictures, you will see in each situation that it was when they were at their wit's end that they cried unto the Lord. To be at our wit's end means that we have lost or exhausted any possibility of thinking of a way out. When you're at your wit's end, it means that you see no way out, that you have reached the end of your ability, you have reached the end of your resources, and there is no escape, there is no help, there is no deliverance in sight, and it is then that God's people cry out unto the Lord. So we want to speak this morning on the subject of a place called wit's end. And that's a good place to be if you cry out unto God. Now, it's a horrible place to be if you continue to try to do it yourself. But it is a good place to be if you do what we see here in the 107th Psalm, and that is they cried out unto God. So we want to look at these four pictures that we see in the 107th Psalm and see if we cannot identify with each of these situations. There have been times in our lives, perhaps even now, that we can identify with these pictures. The first is there is a picture of one wandering in the wilderness. In verse 4, we read they wandered, which means to move about aimlessly without any obvious plan, to just kind of drift along, to gallivant, to stray. It is a picture of people getting nowhere. It doesn't say that they're not doing anything. They're wandering. They're doing something. But they're getting nowhere. We can all identify at one time or another. We read here that they wandered in the wilderness or the desert, a trackless wasteland. This is a picture of people who have gotten off track. This is a picture of people who have lost their way. Can you identify? Have you ever gotten off track? We all have. Have you ever lost your way? We all have. It says they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary, that is a desolate, gloomy and vacant way. That is a picture of loneliness. And then we read, they found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. They are hungry, they're thirsty. They know that if they can get out of the wilderness and get to the city, they can find something in the city that will relieve their hunger and relieve their thirst. But they found no city to dwell in. This is a picture of disappointment. They wander and they look and they look and they look and they are constantly disappointed. Again, we can all identify. It goes on to say that their soul fainted in them, which is a picture of utter exhaustion. And in this case, it is descriptive of being at their wit's end. Their soul fainted in them, and it was then that they cried unto the Lord. So here is a people. They're exhausted. They are moving about in a trackless place of desolation and gloom. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're constantly looking for that which will satisfy their longings, but there is no escape. There is no help. There is no deliverance in sight. They are brought to that place called wit's end. Then it happens. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. In their trouble. In the very midst of their trouble, they cried unto God because they realized there was no way out. God was their only hope. That is always so. That is always the case. The problem is, we don't always realize that that's the case. They cried unto God. And then notice what the Lord did. We read in verse 6 that he delivered them out of their distresses. So their case was hopeless until God intervened. There is no such thing as a hopeless case as long as there is a God sitting upon the throne. And he goes on to say that he led them forth. Remember, they're wandering in the wilderness. And he led them forth by the right way. Remember, here is a people who have gotten off track. And he led them forth. He led them forth out of the pathless mazes of the desert. He led them forth, in other words, he made a way. God made a way. Or God had a way and God showed them the way. He conducted these lost ones. He enabled them to walk in the right way, as faint and as hungry as they were. And even though they found no city to dwell in, we see here that he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city. That they might go to a city of habitation. So here is a people that has been delivered out of their distresses. They are led forth. In other words, God made a way. They were brought to their wit's end and they cried out to the Lord to save them. And if that is your situation, you've gotten off track. You're wandering in the wilderness. You can sit down, you can blame everybody in this church, and you can blame everybody that you've ever known from the time you were an infant for the reason you're off track. But that is not the reason you're off track. Or you can realize that you've gotten yourself off track and cry out to God, and only God can help you. So again, they were brought to their wits' end, but that's not a bad thing if you do the right thing. Secondly, we see there is a picture of one sitting in a prison. Notice in verse 10, it says, such as sit in darkness. darkness. All through the scripture is used to represent sin, evil, wickedness, ignorance, corruption, guilt, error, sorrow, misery, danger, that which is satanic. But notice what it says. They sit in darkness. That's different than walking in darkness. To sit, if you're walking in darkness, there's a chance that you might walk out of it. But if you're sitting in it, you're firmly established. And it says that they sit in darkness. That is, they are firmly settled in darkness. But notice, in addition to the darkness, they sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. This is a picture of a people living in dread, living in fear, living in gloom. But notice also, they are bound in affliction and iron. That is, they are being restrained in this darkness. They are tied down in this darkness. This is a picture of a people trapped, sitting in darkness, bound in iron. They are trapped. We can all identify. We have all been there at one time or another, where we are trapped. Trapped in a hopeless situation. There are countless number of people today that are trapped. There are children that are trapped in horrible situations. There are husbands and wives that are trapped in terrible marriages. There are people that are trapped in abusive relationships. There are people that are trapped in drugs or alcohol. On and on and on we can go. But there are many people that are trapped. Many people are trapped in their own thoughts. They just follow the loop of their thoughts. And they're trapped. They're trapped there. They can't get out. There's no way out. And notice, it is a restraint of iron. There in verse 10, being bound in affliction and iron. Now, if you're bound with iron, that's going to give you the sense of utter hopelessness. You have no chance of breaking asunder the iron. It gives you a sense of helplessness. So here is a people, they are settled in darkness. They are settled in dread and gloom and fear. They are restrained by iron. In other words, they are trapped and they have no way out. And that may be your situation today, I don't know. But we can all identify. But notice what it was that led to their predicament. Verse 11. Because that's going to tell us why verse 10 is true. Because they rebelled against the words of God. They are trapped because of their own rebellion against God. And contempt, which means to despise or spurn the counsel or the advice of the Most High. Here is a people. They are trapped. God's word comes to them and instructs them, and they spurn the word of God. That's not the way to get out of whatever it is that entraps you today. You spurn the word of God. You spurn the counsel of God. And you say, I'm going to do it my way. I might be trapped, but my way will work. Your way is what got you in the trap. And your way is what will keep you in the trap. So we see why they are in this trap. Then notice They're brought to that place called Wits End. Verse 12. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. In other words, they were at their wits' end. They realized, I'm trapped. There is no way out of this mess. I can't break the iron. I am trapped. It was then that it happened. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. If you're trapped today, cry unto God in your trouble. Cry unto Him. Quit trying. Quit struggling. Just cry unto God. And He saved them out of their distresses. Then notice what it says. Again, their case was hopeless until God intervened. And when God intervened, everything was changed. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. They were trapped. They could not bring themselves out. They cry, all they could do is cry unto God, and He brought them out. And God can still. I don't care how thick the darkness is. I don't care how strong the iron is. You cry out unto God, God can bring you out. But then notice what it says. He break, that is, He crushed, He shattered, He ruptured their bands. Their bands were of iron. He ruptured their bands in sunder. In other words, God pulled apart the iron. You can struggle all you want to, and you can pull on that iron and pull on that iron, but you'll never ever break that iron. But God can just pull it apart. God can just speak and pull the iron apart. And oh, how many times we have found ourselves going through or being trapped with no way out. You do what they did here. They cried unto the Lord, and God did wonderful things. God changed their situation. Then there is a picture of a dreadful disease in verse 17 and verse 18. We read here of a people in verse 17 that are afflicted. An affliction is something that is hard to endure. It speaks of agony. Speaks of something that is excruciating. Something that is tormenting. So this is a picture of suffering. And notice their soul in verse 18. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. This is a picture of a people who are suffering. They are diseased, and they have lost their appetite. And it goes on to say that they draw near unto the gates of death. Here is a picture of a people wasting away, becoming a mere skeleton. And it was due to their own foolishness and transgression. In verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. So there's the cause of their affliction. So here is a people. They are suffering. They are suffering from a spiritual disease. And there are many of God's people today who are suffering from a spiritual disease. I heard someone just this past week say They hate visiting hospitals because they find them depressing. They hate visiting nursing homes because they find them depressing because of the sickness. You walk around a Baptist church for a while. There is spiritual disease far greater than any physical disease that you see in any nursing home. It's spiritual. And it's far, far worse. And you know what's sad? Is they have lost their appetite. My dad's in a nursing home. He has no appetite. I wouldn't either if I had to drink my food. But he's lost his appetite. And if he's going to eat, someone has to feed him. And that's how it is with a lot of God's people. They've lost their appetite. And unless you spoon feed them, they're not going to get a thing. It is a picture of suffering, a picture of spiritual disease, a people who have lost their appetite, and what happens is they're wasting away. They're wasting away. If that continues for any length of time, you'll soon look at that person. And it's no longer the person that you once knew. I'm talking physically. But that's also true spiritually. Many spiritually are just the skeletal remains of what they once were. Because disease has taken its toll. It's taken its toll upon their minds. It's taking its toll upon their hearts. They can't see. They can't see by faith. They can't grasp hold of things. They are spiritually ill. And they have no appetite. They're wasting away. But then it happens. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And notice what God did. Verse 19. He sent His word. He sent His word and healed them. He sent His word and they were better. He sent His word and He cured them. He mended them. He restored them to health. And He delivered them from their destructions. And you know what that word destruction means? It means demolition. He delivered them from their demolitions. How many times you and I would demolish our life, and God delivers us from our demolitions. How many times we would have brought utter destruction. We are a destructive people. And were it not for God delivering us from our demolitions, we would have been destroyed. Long ago. Oh, how many times we find ourselves spiritually diseased with little or no spiritual appetite. You cry out unto God. When you begin to lose your spiritual appetite, you cry out unto God. And God will send His word into your heart, and He will save you from demolition. But if you continue in a state of spiritual disease, you will be destroyed. You will destroy your life. Notice verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. He delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. And how good God is for delivering us from our demolitions. If you're spiritually ill today, cry out unto God. Cry out unto God. Then notice fourthly, we have a picture of being tossed in a storm. Verse 25 through verse 27. He commandeth and raiseth up the stormy wind. So here's the cause of this storm. The cause of this storm is not something we have done. He does it.
he does it. In the other three cases,
it was due to the behavior of the individuals. But in this case, it is God that sends the storm. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Here is a picture, first of all, of a storm. Here is a picture of an individual who again and again is brought into the depths. It says that he raises them up to the heavens and then, boom, brings them down into the depths. And this just continues. Up and down, up and down. And that is how they spend their life. And eventually, we read that their soul is melted, verse 26, which is a picture of a people in great distress. And then we read that they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. Here is a picture of an individual who is hurled from side to side. They have lost all sense of balance. And how many times that happens? When people lose their sense of balance. You know, physically, if you lose your sense of balance, that's dangerous. It's very dangerous. You're going to fall. And you're going to hurt yourself. But that's also true spiritually. You lose your sense of balance. It's dangerous. You're going to fall. And you're going to hurt yourself. It's not a matter of if. It's just a matter of when. You're going to fall. And here is a people that have lost their balance. They are at the mercies of the storm. Giant waves carry the ship up to the heavens, drop it down into the depths. Powerful winds toss the ship back and forth. The sailors stagger across the deck like drunken men. The sails are tattered. The sails have been ripped, and wave after wave comes under the deck. And the sailors are just struggling to hold on. And how many times we can identify with that? We're in the storm, and we're just struggling to hold on. And in those times, you just got to hold on. And it looks like it's all over. They're in total despair. They're at their wit's end. And then it happens. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. In every situation so far, as we've read in this 107th Psalm, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. No matter what trouble you are in, you can cry unto the Lord. And all that we would do, just that. They cried unto the Lord. Then notice what God did. Verses 28 through verse 30. He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm. Jesus did that in Matthew 14 as well. He maketh the storm. Did it in Mark 5 also. Maketh the storm a calm. So that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad. Here's individuals who have been brought to their wit's end. They cry unto God. God makes a difference. And now they're glad. God calmed the storm. What we learn from this 107th Psalm. Because we can all identify with these situations at one time or another in our life, or even perhaps now, and even in the future.
But what we learn from this is eventually we get to our wit's end when there's no way out. You lift up your eyes to heaven and you cry out to God. You say, well, what do I say? Try help! Amen. You don't have to explain the entire situation to God. Just cry out for help. Many are crying out to help to all kinds of government agencies. I'm telling you, help comes from God. Amen. Cry out to Him. So in closing, your life may be represented by one of these four pictures, even right now. In each case, the Lord made a way when there was no way. So the next time you say, well, there's just no way, turn your eyes to the Lord, because there is a way, and He's the way. He can make a way when there is absolutely no way. He supernaturally changed the natural. Notice verse 7. Notice what God did through this psalm. Verse 7. And He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. And notice verse 9. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. This is what God does. Then notice verse 14. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Verse 16. He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron. Cut it in pieces. Cut it in sunder. Verse 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. This is what God does. And then we read four times in this psalm, oh, that men, because of what God does, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We need to learn to do two things. We need to learn to cry out unto God at all times. Cry out unto God. And see if it doesn't make a difference. You said, I cried and it didn't work. You keep crying. You just keep on. You don't quit. You keep crying out for help. If you're out there in the middle of Lake Michigan going under, you're not just going to cry one time, help, someone please help me. You're going to cry, help, help, help. And many times that's what we have to do with the Lord. You just keep on crying. And then we need to learn to praise the Lord for His goodness. So whatever your situation is today, whatever your situation might be in the future, because I guarantee you we've all been in these situations. There may be some in these situations, and we'll all go through these situations again. Read the 107th Psalm the next time you find yourself in one of these situations and just cry out to God and see if it doesn't make a difference. Brother Larry, if you'd come.